I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O holy God, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you've called us together to worship you. And we thank you especially, O Lord, for the gift of your holy word and for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. The story that Janice read for us from the book of Acts is probably one of my favorite stories out of that book, the Acts of the Apostles. It's the story of Tabitha, who's well known in the community. She's so well known that the scriptures even give us her Greek name, which is Dorcas. So she is known in the larger community for all that she has done. And Luke, in writing this book of the Acts of the Apostle, actually calls her a disciple. A disciple. She's the first woman named in Acts who would be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. And so she has high standing in the community. Tabitha is known for her good works. She's devoted to those opportunities to help others. But if you noticed in the reading, Tabitha is a widow, which means in society she's usually not well thought of. She's someone who would have to care for herself or to have someone else care for her. But in the community in which she lives and serves, she is one who is considered a pillar of that church. She's considered a saint. The women who have come together to honor her have taken the time to wash her body and prepare it for a proper burial. And it's only then that those faithful women call Peter to come. Perhaps they called Peter to come just to honor the life of Tabitha. But more likely, they called Peter to come because they had heard about what he had been able to do. For Peter is in a nearby town in Lydda. And there in Lydda, he has just healed a paralyzed man named Aeneas. He has healed that man, and the story of that has spread far and wide. And so I'm sure that the women in Joppa have heard of this, and they see in Peter the power and the presence of the resurrected Christ. For he is able to do miraculous things. He's able to do the things with the power of God that Jesus himself was able to do. So they call for Peter, and Peter comes with haste. He comes with haste, and when he gathers in that room where they are honoring the life of Tabitha, he asks the mourners to leave, and he kneels. He kneels and he prays, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, then he says to Tabitha, "Tabitha, rise." It reminds us of that story of Jesus healing the young girl, where he goes to the home of parents where the child has died. And after asking all of the paid mourners to leave, he prays and asks the Spirit of God to heal the girl, to raise her. And he says, "Tabitha, come." Tabitha, come, which means little girl, rise. So Peter, echoing, following the example of Jesus, says, "Tabitha, rise." And Tabitha does. And there's great joy and celebration, for Tabitha has been returned to the community. She's been returned to those saints who have been helped by her. She's brought back to life. They truly were not sure that Peter would have the power to do that. But Peter does, for the living Christ, the Spirit of the living Christ, resides in Peter. Peter is able to bring healing into that community. Peter, if you heard the last verse that Janice read, Peter decides to stay even longer in Joppa. And he decides to stay with a man named Simon. And Simon's occupation is a tanner, which means he's the one who cures the hides of animals. And if you know anything about faithful Jews, they would not be anywhere near the carcasses of dead animals. But Peter decides that that's where he's going to stay. And the amazing thing is that while Peter is in Joppa, he has this wonderful vision about how God has made all things clean. Nothing is unclean. It's in that house of the tanner that Peter realizes that God surely shows no partiality. And it's another amazing story about how God works in unlikely places and in places where you would not expect the Spirit to show up. That vision reminds us that God shows up not only in the most unlikely places, but that God can perform wonders and miracles even in situations that appear dormant or dead. The disciples in Joppa know that God is still active in the lives and in that community. And hopefully we know that yet today, that the Spirit of God is still alive in our community, in our congregation. I love the hymn that we're going to sing as a response today. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Others will know that we are followers of Christ by the way we treat others, by our devotion to good works, by our commitment to those who are on the fringe of society, by our faith in the risen Christ who continues to inspire hope and offer us the promise of abundant life. In the Gospel according to John, we see Jesus in a conflict with the Jewish religious officials. They are disputing among themselves, the religious officials, whether Jesus truly is the Messiah or is he demon-possessed. And they can't decide who this man, Jesus of Nazareth, truly is. And so they come and say, "Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or are you not?" The critics of Jesus want to know one way or the other. Now, you know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is often very evasive and ambiguous and hard to understand. Jesus describes himself in metaphors. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate." And so you can understand why those Jewish officials are a little confused about who Jesus is. And they just want to know for sure if he's the one that they should follow, if he's the one that will save them. In the Gospel, according to Luke, we have a story where the disciples of John the Baptist come and ask Jesus basically the same thing. They want to know if he's the one to come or should they wait for someone else. And Jesus answers them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." In other words, Jesus the Messiah would be best known and recognized by what he did, how he showed God's love and power and his presence through those loving and caring acts. Again, Jesus doesn't give these Jewish religious officials the plain answer that they're looking for. Jesus is rather exasperated with them. And he says, "I've been teaching you, I've been showing you, I've been telling you all the time, but you haven't seen and you haven't heard." And he says, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me. My sheep hear my voice and follow me." Those who truly know Jesus as Messiah have experienced him and they know his voice, and therefore they are bold to follow. It's obvious that more data and more knowledge will not help them or us to know the Messiah, the risen Christ. Jesus' role and identity is known through his works, and it's experienced by others. It's heart knowledge rather than head knowledge that helps us to recognize Jesus as the risen Christ, as Jesus as our Savior. The early church grew dramatically, not because of creeds and dogmas, but because multitude experienced the reality of the living love through those faithful disciples who made that alive among them. Others don't come to believe in Christ because we tell them to. They come to discover Christ when they have experienced the love of Christ made real in their own lives. Years ago, on a book, a little small book on vocation or on call, I read these words, and they have stuck with me throughout my ministry. People don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. People don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. Truly, others will know that we are followers of Christ by our love. And they'll also come to know Christ when they know that love of Christ as made real in us. Today on Mother's Day, we celebrate the love that we have received from our mothers or that we have given as mothers ourselves. But for many, Mother's Day is a difficult day. For those who have recently lost their mothers or lost a child, it's a day of painful remembrances. For those who did not learn love in their household from their mothers, it's also a day that's hard for them to celebrate. Still others who have been unable to have children or who have lost a child, Mother's Day can be hurtful. And for some who choose not to have children, there's sometimes a stigma about their choices. So today on Mother's Day, we're called to not only celebrate our mothers, not only to celebrate that joy, but to remember that there are many in our lives who have influenced us, who have shown us the love of Christ by their love. It may have been our mothers, our grandmothers, an aunt. It may have been a close family friend. But someone has shown you the love of Christ in their lives. And that's what's brought you here. That's what brought you to Christ. Somehow the traditional celebration of Mother's Day doesn't fit everyone. But for all of us, we have that person who we can thank for showing us the love of Christ. And the other side of that coin is that we also have the opportunity to be that inspiration for someone else. We can be the one that shows the love of Christ through our lives. Faithful followers of Christ truly are love incarnate for others. And so today, we're called to show that love, especially to those who need that affirmation or appreciation or acceptance. It's a good day to thank others for the gift of love that has been given to you. That's why I love the story of Tabitha so much. I have met a Tabitha or two in every congregation that I've served, the faithful disciple who commits his or her life to helping others without wealth or power, but with a deep commitment to share God's love with others with no strings attached. They make the risen Christ real by their loving deeds. The ones we know that belong to Christ by the way they live and love. The Tabithas of the world are truly alive and well, and these are among the ones we remember and we celebrate today. We'll truly know the Tabithas by their love, and others will know Christ's love by our love. May it be so. Amen.